Erev Tov, everybody. I'm very happy to see you here. This year is possibly one can call it a bit of a celebration. I finally published this Haggadah. Came out on Thursday, and they will be available over here. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Haggadah. I said a little bit last week. It's not a Haggadah that I wrote. I wrote an introduction, and I wrote a biography of the author. And my son-in-law rebuilt the Haggadah. It was originally in citations of Psukim, Gemaras, Mamari Chazal. We turned it into, I think, a very, very nice Haggadah. It's been my favorite. I've gone for about 30 years now. I don't think it has been reprinted during all of this time.
Where can it be bought?
Right here.
Right over there.
Besides here.
I don't know. I gave it over to a distributor, and I don't know where it will, where he's put it. I would hope that you buy more than one, and then you would have to take out a mortgage. I have to pay for these. The Haggadah was written by the Aruch HaShulchan from the time about 400 years ago that Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. There was nobody that wrote a compendium of all of Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch in addition to the halachas of Mitzvos HaTluyos Baaretz, as did the Aruch HaShulchan. It's an unbelievable work, and people were unaware of the fact that he wrote a Haggadah too. And the Haggadah, I say, was maybe the last time it was printed was 40, 50 years ago. And I had two or three, they were paperback copies, and I think he may be proud of what we did with the Haggadah. This was one of his smaller works, but it presents us with an amazing dimension of the man's power in an understanding of Tanakh, in Drush, in Hashkafa, a lot of very, very beautiful things. The Aruch HaShulchan's name was Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein. His son also became known very widely because his son is Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, who wrote the Torah Tamima Chumash. Which bar mitzvah boy doesn't get five or six sets of Torah Tamima? A great deal of the information that I wrote with regard to his biography comes from an autobiography that was written by his son. Rav Baruch Halevi wrote four volumes of a sefer called Mekor Baruch, which is also recently reprinted. I just saw it reprinted in about seven or eight volumes, and there he has a good few chapters in which he talks about his father. The Aruch HaShulchan was born in a city called Babroisky, was born into a family of Balabatim who are businessmen, wealthy, I would say wealthy, and Talmidei Chachamim, and he was going to follow in the footsteps of the rest of the family by also going into the family business and sitting and studying Torah as well. Yes, it is in Hebrew. We hope in Yisrael next year there will be essential parts of it will come out in English. I don't think the whole Haggadah can be translated, but certainly there are major sections that could. That's not next project. I have to keep myself busy. I don't have much to do with my time, so this may help. There are a few other projects in the fire there. Anyway, he was born in the city of Babroisk, and it's amazing, and you will see in that little section of the Haggadah that we're going to talk about tonight, you'll see more of what I'm saying. There was a Rav in the city. The Rav of the city was Rav Eliyahu Goldberg. Rav Eliyahu Goldberg met this Yechiel Michal Halevi at a wedding, at a simcha, and he engaged them in conversation. And it's amazing that he had this feeling that this person can someday be great. So he suggested to him, family is wealthy, maybe you should sit and study Torah and let the family take care of you. Anyway, he liked the idea. And the family agreed, because they also saw that he has potential. But this Rabbi Eliyahu went one step further. He said that your study of Torah should be in order to arrive at halacha, not to go into the area of pilpul and lumdus. Go in there and work on the area of halacha, which is exactly what he did. And that this this Rav Eliyahu Goldberg was able to see the awesome potential of the Aruch HaShulchan was absolutely amazing. His first position was Rav in a small town that was a had many Chabad Hasidim there, and he was a young Litvisher Rav in his 20s, and here he is, they take him as a Rav in this Chassidish town. Anyway, he ended up spending a month in the home of the Tzemach Tzedek, one of the great Rebbes of Chabad, and a very close relationship developed between the two. They spent many hours a day talking in Torah. The Rebbe also introduced him into the world of Kabbalah. He also tutored him on how to lead a Jewish community, and there's no question about it that month in the home of the Tzemach Tzedek had a great deal of meaning for him. Then he became Rav of Navardik, and he was Rav of Navardik for 34 years until he passed away in 1908. I mean, this is a very brief outline of his life. He was he had an ability to write that was awesome. He sat with a Gemara, a Rambam, and a Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote. He didn't erase. He didn't cross out. He didn't go back. As the pages came out from his pen, that's how they went to the printer. That's an awesome ability. Awesome ability to do that. And of course, he created a major work, unparalleled work, the Aruch HaShulchan. I think anybody who deals with Psak Halacha doesn't make a step without the Aruch HaShulchan. So he did write three other Svachim. One is called Or LaYeshachim, and it was a commentary on the Sefer HaYashor of the Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote the Haggadah called Leil Shimurim, and he also wrote toward the end of his life a commentary on the Yerushalmi called Meichal Mayim. And though I didn't write it in the introduction, but and he didn't write any introductions, so we can only guess at what he may have had in mind. I think the three svarim that he wrote, Or LaYeshachim, Leil Shimurim, Meichal Mayim, all end with Yud Mem, most probably for Yechiel Michal. And certainly his perush on the Yerushalmi, which is called Meichal Mayim, Mem Yud Chof Lamed, that which holds water, it holds water. Of course, a takeoff on his name, Michal. Yes, and I did write in that introduction, though I was challenged on that. I wrote in this in the introduction, he could have sat and learned his whole life without taking on any kind of positions. His family would have taken care of him. And he chose to accept upon himself the responsibility of of being a Rav of a city. And I say that the reason that he did that is because there's a special Siyata Deshmaya for a Rav who has the responsibility of a Kehillah, that he has Siyata Deshmaya to be able to paskin Aliba Dehilchasa. And it's very humbly I say that in my own experience, I've also had this feeling. Sometimes, you know, it gets very difficult to paskin a shayla, and you needs either guts or something, and then you find out, you know, you were right. You were right. That happens. It really happens. Okay. Last week we had taken one piece of the Haggadah Halach Ma'anya. I wanted to Ma'aseh B'Rebbe Eliezer. I think if we just do this shtickle tonight, we will be doing well. Ma'aseh, the famous story, Ma'aseh B'Rebbe Eliezer, the stories of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, the five of them were Mesubim B'Bnei Brak. They sat for the Seder in B'Nai Brak, and they were relating the story of the exodus from Egypt all of that night. Until their students came and said to them, Rabbeinu, our rabbis, Higi Azman, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, the time to say Shema in the morning has arrived. You have to remember, of course, that this story is brought in the Haggadah after the first paragraph, which is, Avadim, you know, the Pharaoh of Mitzrayim, we were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Would God not have taken us out, then we and our children's children would have forever remained enslaved. Therefore, it's a mitzvah to relate the story of the Exodus from Egypt, even Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanu Zekenim, though we be wise and understanding and sage. Mitzvah Aleinu, there's a mitzvah l'saper to relate the story of Egypt, v'chol hamarbe l'saper, and the one who really elaborates on the story of Yitzias Mitzchayim, harei zeh meshubach, is praiseworthy. And immediately after that comes the maisa of these five rabbis who were in B'nai Brak. So the Baal Aruch HaShulchan, the Leil Shimurim, we'll read a little bit and we'll skip. You'll just follow me. Yeshulit Bonen says that we have to give thought to this. So Rabbi Elazar Haisa Dirato B'Lud. Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. Rabbi Yehoshua B'Pekiyin. Rabbi Yehoshua lived in Pekiyin. That's in the Galil. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who lived in B'nai Brak. What are they doing by his Seder? And it's more than that. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua were his rabbeim. They were his teachers, you understand? The teachers are sitting down to the Seder with the student. The question becomes even more difficult because he points out that there's a statement in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer says that on Yontif you're supposed to stay home. How do you like that? A halacha, Rabbi Eliezer says, on Yontif you're supposed to stay home. And this self same Rebbe Eliezer who lives in Lod is now spending the Seder with Rabbi Akiva in B'nai Brak. V'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yehoshua hayu rabosav shal Rabbi Akiva. In Kain Eza Sipa Haisa, what was the reason Sheshav Sukulam Behar HaPesach Eitzel Rabbi Akiva? What were they all doing on Yontif by Rabbi Akiva? V'al Rabbi Eliezer Yoter Tamua. And on Rabbi Eliezer the question is even greater because he says that you're supposed to stay home. Because he holds also lots of me basei beregel. A person is not permitted to leave his home on Yontif. So what's he doing from Lud? He goes to B'nai Brak. And so at one point he wants to say that maybe somebody will tell us that Rabbi Eliezer, who said you're supposed to stay home for Yontif, meant only Shavuos and Sukkos and not Pesach. Because the mitzvah of the Somachta b'chagecho, it says by Sukkos, and we learn Shavuos from Sukkos, maybe Pesach, there is no halacha of Simcha, so he proves there is a halacha of the Somachta b'chagecho by Pesach, just like there is by Shavuos and Sukkos, and if there's a halacha of the Somachta b'veisecha, it also means that you have to be mesameach, your family. What is Rabbi Eliezer doing in B'nai Brak? The Yira, second paragraph, the Yira lefianius daiti, and it seems to me, Shebe'emes Kainhu, Al Pima de Garcinon Shilimakos, there was a reason there was a reason why they spent that Pesach at the home of Rabbi Akiva. And he quotes now the famous Gemara. I'll tell you the Gemara. Chances are you may have heard the Gemara at a bar mitzvah, or chances are you will hear it at a bar mitzvah one of these days. There's a very beautiful minig now that a bar mitzvah boy completes the study of a mesechta. Usually he studied it with his father. I give parents credit that they can sit and go through a whole mesechta with kids without getting upset at them, and it's amazing. It's great. It's a whole new generation. It's a whole new generation. And one of the mesechtas that they study is Mesechta Makot, because Mesechta, it has 24 daf, but they're jam-packed. And the Mesechta ends with the famous story that Tam Achas once, the rabbis, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, they were walking from Har HaZeisim, from Har HaTzofim, and they came toward the Mokom HaMikdash, and they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. They began to cry, and he smiled. I mean, it says Mesachek in the Gemara, but I don't imagine that he really laughed. Didn't laugh, but he was smiling, he was happy, and they're crying. So he turns to them and he says, Lamatem Bochim, what are you crying about? What a strange question to ask. Lamatem Bochim. Here they see the Beis HaMikdash. This was soon after the Churban. The Beit HaMikdash is absolute in ruins, raised to the ground. And here is a fox coming out of the Beit Kodesh HaKodashim. And they said to him, this is the place where only the Kohen Gadol entered on Yom HaKippurim, and now foxes are playing there. Isn't that reason that we should cry? So he says, that's precisely why I am smiling. Why am I smiling? So he says, listen, if this is the kind of victory God gives to those who reject him, the Romans, can you imagine what one day is going to be the reward for Jews who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, who remain loyal and faithful to our Kodesh Baruch Hu? And furthermore, he said, now that I see that the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled so precisely, there's a pasuk that says, "Shu'olim hilchuba," foxes were walking through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now I am certain that all of the prophecies about the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, the rebirth and rejuvenation of Eretz Yisrael, a geula that is going to come with the Mashiach, Ben David, I can be certain that those prophecies are going to be fulfilled precisely and to the finest detail. For which they turned to him and they said to him, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva, you have consoled us, you have consoled us. I heard a very beautiful word from a fellow who davens here in Shul, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaufman, lives on HaKablan. The famous Gemara. Now the Gemara talks about Rabbi Akiva and his wife, Rachel. Rachel was the daughter of Kalba Savua. Kalba Savua was one of the richest men in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd. His daughter Rachel, she falls in love with Rabbi Akiva. You understand? He has nothing. Not only he has nothing, he is nothing. An ignoramus, unlearned. She said, tells her father that she's going to marry Akiva. Her father does what any father would have done under those circumstances. He disowns her. You will not have, as long as you're married to him, you're not going to have a penny of all of my wealth. Tough woman, Rachel. Anyway, she marries Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara describes how poor they were. They slept in a barn on straw, and in the morning he would pick the straw out of her hair. Anyway, Rashi told him, Akiva, go learn. And Rabbi Akiva went off to the Beis Medrash to learn, and he remained there for 12 years, and he came back home, not Akiva anymore, but Rabbi Akiva. And of course the Gemara tells a story that he heard his wife talking to a neighbor about, if he would listen to me, he'd go back for another 12 years. So he never stepped into the house, and he turned around and he went back to learn for another 12 years. And then he came back at the end of the 24 years with 24,000 students, and he came to town, and people knew that the great Rabbi Akiva is coming. Some of the neighbors wanted to give his wife, if it's a nice dress to put on, because she had nothing. And then, you know, here it is, he's surrounded by all of these Talmidim. They must all be singing Yohamim, Ayim, Emel, So Shadim, Rashi. And here is this woman over there who was not terribly well dressed, trying to get through the crowd, and he sees her, and the students don't want to let her through. Like, who is this? He says, let her through. And then he makes the great statement, Sheli v'shelachem shela. Everything I have, and whatever I am, and whatever you are, it's all from her. All from her. So my friend Reb Yitzchak said a very beautiful word. That it's not only the fact that she sent him off to learn. There's something awesome about the whole story. What's awesome about the whole story is that she had the ability to see his potential. What an uncanny ability to, without benefit of prophecy, to be able to take a look into the future. She knew that her Akiva has the ability to be something great, and he has to be given the opportunity. When Rabbi Akiva says, what I am and what you are all comes from her, where did Rabbi Akiva become the great optimist? Where did Rabbi Akiva become the one who, while others, Gedolei Yisrael, are crying as they see a fax coming out from Kodesh HaKadoshim, Rabbi Akiva's eyes are going further. He sees beyond this. Where do you get such training? Who turns somebody into a person that has the ability to look so far into the future? You know where he got it from? From his Rachale. That's where he got it from. It was Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim who raised the banner of rebellion. They had a tremendous amount of optimism. They had an ability to see beyond the here and now, because the here and now look terrible. Can you imagine? They're standing there on the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, Pashit, the destruction. They were most probably overwhelmed with despair. And Rabbi Akiva is smiling. He sees further. There's a beautiful medrash. Medrash says, Pam achas bi hayo Rabbi Akiva doresh. Once Rabbi Akiva was darshening, saying a drasha, bikesh ha'am lehisnam neim. The people started, falling asleep. You know, heads started bobbing, going, and jumping up, I love to watch some of my guys here. They're great, I know each one of them. By the way, I always feel that Friday night especially, anybody who was at a good schlaf while I speak for about 10 minutes, it's one of the great mitzvahs that they, up there in heaven, they say during Gold's drasha, his divrei Torah Friday night, Eis gemitschet and Eis geweckt Yidden, haben gehad ebis a bissle rest. Anyway, it says Bikish homeless, nothing. The people were going to, they were falling asleep, heads were bobbing all over the place. So Rabbi Akiva made a shocking statement. Tavo Esther, let Esther come, who is the granddaughter of Sarah, who lived 127 years,
and she shall be queen over 127 states of the realm. And everybody woke up. It's a pretty strange statement, you understand. What does Sarah living 127 years have to do with Esther ruling over 127 states? So you have to understand the Gemara. I can't for the life of me imagine anybody falling asleep when Rabbi Akiva is darshaning. There was an eimon, a yira, a pachad, an honor reverence before Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's drasha, you didn't fall asleep. Didn't fall asleep. You know what the Gemara means? Rabbi Akiva lived in such difficult times. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was one of the martyrs, one of the 10 Haruge Malchus that were put to death in such horrible way by Rome. He lived through terrible times. He lived in times when the Jewish people were beginning to fall into despair. Bikesh ha'omli his namname doesn't mean they were falling asleep by his drasha. He takes a look at a people that are falling into yiyush. We're exhausted. We're tired. We don't want to fight anymore. Isn't that what one of our Walmart, yeah? We're tired, we're exhausted, we don't want to fight anymore. Rabbi Akiva saw Bikesh Homeless Namne, so you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to shake them out of that despair and tell them, take a look. Sorrow was a miracle, Esther was a miracle. We talked last week about sorrow. Sorrow, this was in the last show, he says that sorrow was by nature incapable of giving birth. The fact that she gave birth was a wonder, a pele, which means that the Jewish people came into being as a miracle. Why did that happen? So Avram should have been physically by nature childless, and sorrow should have been in Akonga, and it was God who gave them this blessing, so that the Jewish people came into being as an act of miracle, and for that matter, the entire history of the Jewish people is one ongoing story of the miraculous. We have never lived within the confines of the natural world. So Rabbi Akiva is telling them, take a look, sorrow lives 127 years. Her whole life is a series of miracles. Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed utterly. And then from out of left field, Esther becomes queen over 127 realms. Could anybody have written that script? Of course not. So you should know there's hope for Klal Yisrael. Don't get so tired. Don't get exhausted. Don't fall asleep. This was the ongoing message of Rabbi Akiva. The whole personality of Rabbi Akiva was a personality that was suffused and bubbled with an optimism and hope for the future. That's why he was beloved by Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva stands in the highest rank of Tanoim Ad HaYom Hazeh, Rabbi Akiva. So to talk about Rabbi Akiva. So the Leil Shimurim says, you know what they're doing at his Seder? All his Rabbeim and his colleagues understand that at that crucial moment in Jewish history, they owe a great deal to the leadership of Rabbi Akiva. In a sense, they've come to be at his Seder in order to express their gratitude for the leadership, the encouragement, and the absolute ability to see well beyond the here and now. We're very limited. We're very limited. How many times we would love to see what does the future. We don't know anything beyond the present. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. And Rabbi Akiva had this uncanny ability, which, as we said, he most probably got from Rachel. Rachel was able to see this shepherd, ignorant shepherd, would be the giant of all the ages. Now it goes on to say, so therefore they're all at his Seder. They're all at his Seder in order to express gratitude. Maybe they are also at his Seder in order to receive even more injections of hope and anticipation for the future. I believe that according to the Leil Shimurim, what he's going to be saying is the following. He's really going to be saying that the whole Seder and the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a story about yesteryear and days of old, once upon a time. The message of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story that we have to relive the whole Dover Dor, and every generation person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. Why? Why? So that he should take the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim and apply them to his very own time. Don't for a moment think that you're the grace of Balabas and you're going to be able to do what you want to do, or that our situation is that bad. Say demographically, we're finished. We are disappearing in America. They understand the vanishing Jew. And we're going to be surrounded over here in 20 years. You understand? There are going to be 10 Arabs here for one Jew. Take it easy. Take it easy. What we need is a Rabbi Akiva who has that ability to understand that all of Jewish history is miracle. That's why they're there. There is, of course, even this I even saw Rav Soloveitchik and others say that they gathered at the home of Rabbi Akiva in order to plan the rebellion against Rome. So how are they going to get together? You know, Rabbi Akiva is not going to send out invitations. You're cordially invited to plan a rebellion. You can't do that. Rome was watching them very, very closely. Under the cover of getting together for Yom Tov, for the Seder, they came to plan, to lay the groundwork for the rebellion against Rome. And that's why the students were very important. Who was going to fight? Who was going to fight? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tarfon, they were not the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they were not the ones who were going to go fight. It depended on the students. And the code word was, until the students came in the morning and they said, Higiyak Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, the time to read Shema. The significance of the time to read Shema is, Shema means accepting upon oneself the heavenly yoke. Do you know how you can accept Ol Malchus Shemaim completely? When you have thrown off the yoke of any other kind that rests upon you. What the students are saying are, we are ready to remove the yoke of Rome and we're going to fight for Eretz Yisrael. Then he says a very beautiful thing that I think you have to give thought to, because you will come up against it time and time again. He says the following. Take a look at the third paragraph. He begins by quoting a few psukim in Eicha. V'nidali levayer. You see, it says v'nidali levayer debemes nichamon. Rabbi Akiva, when he was consoling the rabbis, was not consoling them about someday in the world to come it's going to be good. He was talking about the here and the now. V'hegdem divrei hanavi, by introducing to the words of the Navi in Ani HaGever. Ani HaGever is the third chapter in Eicha. It begins with the words Ani HaGever. Listen to these psukim. Va'omar, and I said, Avad Nitzchi. My future is, my eternity is lost. V'tochalti me'ashem. My ability to look forward and pray to God, gone. The Navi here, in the name of the Jewish people, is describing a state of mind of despair. Not odlo avda tikvateinu, avda tikvateinu. Zecharoni umerudi, remember my pain and my being downtrodden, lana v'rosh, the bitter cup that I drank. Zachor tiskor, I remember this, v'toshuach alai nafshi, and my soul is bent and broken. So what am I going to do when I find myself in such a terrible, terrible state? What am I going to do? I'm on the brink of absolute despair, darkness, disintegration, disappearance. What am I going to do under these circumstances? So the Navi says, Zos Oshiv Elibi, this is what I'm going to respond to my heart. Al Kain Ochil, therefore I will pray to God. Because I remember one thing. Chazdei Hashem Kilo Tomnu. God's kindness is never ending. Kilo Cholu Rachamov. There is no end to His mercy. They never forget that. God acts with chesed and rachamim, and that never ending. So he's going to go on. I'll explain to you what he says now. He says that we have to be able to differentiate between two words, chesed and rachamim. If I can get you into it, you should know that when you daven, after we talk about this, you're going to notice many places in davening the words chesed and rachamim. Are they the same? Absolutely not. There are no two words that mean absolutely the same. What's the difference between chesed and rachamim? So he says the following, and he gives an example. If a king is going to honor one of his subjects who's a very wealthy man, and he's going to give him a prize of 1,000 pieces of silver, could you say that the king had rachmanis on him? Ridiculous. The man, he's not a poor man, he's a very wealthy man. What you could say is that there was an outpouring of loving kindness, chesed. The king is going to give 1,000 talents of silver. He's going to give it to a poor person. That's an act of compassion, of mercy and pity. He uses a Kabbalistic formula. All rachamim, mercy, is always preceded by din. In other words, when a person finds himself under the cloud of din, in other words, he's suffering, at that moment, you know what comes into play? What comes into play then is rachamim. That's what happens then. So he says the Romans were riding high. The Romans were riding high. The Roman strength and the Roman ability, the Roman power was all, we believe that everything was from the Rabbeinu Shem. It was a chesed from God. Rabbi Akiva was telling them, if this is the kind of chesed that God does for those who reject Him, oy al achas kama v'kama, what will one day be the chesed and the rachamim that He will do for His people? Watch, so in Eicha he's saying chazdei Hashem kilo somnu. God, there always will be an outpouring. There can always come a moment of an outpouring of chesed. Kilo cholu rachamov. Mechalkel chayim v'chesed. Mechayei meisim v'rachamim rabim. Mechalkel chayim means that God provides food for all mankind. By the way, He created us. He has to provide us with food. But you know what? He could have provided us with the most basic foods. Bread and water. But that's not, in God's world, there is bounty. I can't think of anything but watermelon. Watermelon? Oranges? Bananas? Apples? Kiwis? You know, there's a whole world of chesed. Mechalkel chayim. God is not stingy when He comes to providing for mankind.
Hazon es ha'olam kulo betuvo bechein bechesed uverachamim. And because of that, who knows saying lechem lechol basar ki la'olam chazdal. Because he doesn't give in small measure. The fact is that there's enough in the world, there shouldn't be anybody, nobody should be starving in Darfur, you understand? There's enough food in this world. The problem is that we don't necessarily divide it the way it should be divided. So Rabbi Akiva tells them, be certain that there's both chesed and rachamim. Are you okay?
Sorry.
All right. Let's turn over to the next page. V'lachein ani omer, the back. Yeah, that's it, you got through. V'lachein ani omer, therefore I say, Shebaad zeh hecheziku tovu l'Rabbi Akiva, this is why they felt that they owe a debt of gratitude to Rabbi Akiva, al shechizkam, he strengthened them, betikvas klal Yisrael, in the hope of the Jewish people, take of achar ha-korban, right after the korban. The one who was there with the ability to see further, and he encouraged and he gave strength, that was Rabbi Akiva. V'lachein bo kulam li'ira ulebeitosh Rabbi Akiva, therefore they all came to the city and to the home of Rabbi Akiva. The only one who didn't come was Rabbi Gamliel. Levad Rabbi Gamliel, except for Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel was Nasi. He was the president of the Sanhedrin. He already was in a completely different category. V'hem kulam bo elov, they all came to his house with Saper b'yitzias b'tzrayim v'leil chag ha-pesach, to tell the story of the Exodus on the night of Pesach. Mipnei shem yitzias mitzrayim gan came mitbareh nitzchi Yisrael. This is the point. Because from yitzias mitzrayim what we learn is the eternity of the Jewish people. If God didn't plan to keep us alive through eternity, he would never have gone to all the trouble of all the nisim v'niflos to bring us out of Egypt. God doesn't do anything in vain. He went through all of that for one reason, because this people is going to be his people into eternity. We're going to make it. We're going to survive. We're going to survive. You know, the Leil Shemurim is saying that the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a story for every generation. Behold, every person has to see himself as though he lived through it, because we need that right now too. Am I supposed to be overwhelmed by the demographers who have already said that there will not be a Jewish state in 20 years, some say 10 years? Who knows this? I mean, there are enough doomsday prophets, you understand, that can krankmachen, you understand? We need a Rabbi Akiva to wake everybody up and say, Chavra, the Rebbeinshim brought Dams Vardeya, Ginim, Arav, Deva, Yad Chazak, Ezronetu, all of this for what? To take out a people who will disappear at some moment in history. He turned heaven and earth to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael now for the third time. So what? So that it should disappear and dissipate? I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it. Can't be. That's the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not a story of days gone by. It's not a story of yesteryear. It's not a story of once upon a time. So he says, Mipnei Shem, listen to this sentence. Because from Yetzias Mitzrayim, Gam came in Bade, what becomes clear is Nitzchias Yisrael, the eternity of Israel, Shekol Kli Yutzar Olav Lo Yitzlach L'chalato, because any implements of war that are fashioned will not succeed to destroy him. We're the only state on the face of this earth that is under threat of total destruction. Iran is creating Kli Yutzar for one reason, in order to destroy us. He said it. Israel has to be wiped off the face of this earth. Hamas said it, what, yesterday? We're the only people on the face of this earth that are threatened with total. We don't need Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. Oh boy, do we need Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why we also say in the Haggadah, Behold over door. Omdom aleinu lechal oseinu, v'akodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. In other words, that is, in that little paragraph, what the Baal Haggadah is doing is taking the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and making it relevant to the here and now in every generation. That's the way we have to say it. That's the way you fulfill the mitzvah of Yetzias Sipu, Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of the themes of the Haggadah, of this Haggadah, is that the most significant aspect of the whole night of the Seder is that the Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Liras Asatzmo, that a man has to see himself as though he came out of you have to relive it. You have to relive it. Because what you, how do you relive it? You relive it by applying those lessons to the here and the now. I made a statement in Shul on Shabbos, and again it keeps coming back to me. Some of my guys were shocked out of there. I said, we're not going to win with politics. We're not going to win Eretz Yisrael by a seat more, a seat less, a ministry, a government. I think we're only going to keep and win Eretz Yisrael through Torah mitzvahs. Specifically, I talked about Shabbos. I think we have to bring people in this country closer to Shabbos. And forget all the rest. These guys are leading us down a garden path. But a Jew who's Shemesh Shabbos will become a Jew who has a sense of purpose. He sees himself as part of an eternal people. We can't listen to all these fellows who are telling us that we're finished unless we make this concession and that concession and the next concession. Hit kan sut, hit kaplut, hit kan ut, freidish. The hits. They're a hit team, all of these guys. And they spoke at great length about this, Achebo, Tamideim, Bamru, until the students came and they said, Rabotenu, Higias, Man, Kriyash, Moshe, Shachlis. Zeu Gamkein, the whole purpose of the students was La'amech, to strengthen Birkayim Koshalot, knees that are weak, to be Kriyash, Moshe, Shachlis, and listen to how he looks at such clarity at davening. Because in Kriyash, Moshe, Shachlis, we say also, Ezra Savosenu, you are the one who brought aid and assistance to our fathers. You're Mogenu Moshe's name. You're the shield and the one who saves their children, Achadem. Bechol Dor V'Dor. That's what we say over there in davening every morning. We are taking Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Lodekim Ani Hashem Elokeichem MS. And we go on to the Yatziv V'Nachom V'Kayam V'Yashar. And what we are doing is we are taking the Yetzias Mitzrayim in davening, and also we're turning it into the here and the now. For Og Dvonim Keila, Shebein Kriyashma L'Shmonesre, between Kriyashma and Shmonesre, Shemuftochim Anachmu Mipivyas Baruch, that we are guaranteed from God, blessed He, Sheyielonu Kiyum Olami, we will exist forever. So as I said, the Baal Orach HaShulchan turns the whole Haggadah, and his whole Perush Haggadah becomes, I would say, Rabbi Akiva-like. That the whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story that is calculated to give us a sense of hope and anticipation, and never to despair. So that, I don't know why I remember it now, it just came flashing through my head. I must have told you once. Oh, back, it must have been 30 years ago. I was rabbi in West Hempstead. And the week before Pesach, you understand, on TV, they aired for the first time a movie called Holocaust in 5 segments. Night after night after night. That's just what we needed right before Pesach. It was very fascinating, you know. It was very fascinating. The phone didn't ring until the commercial. Rabbi, how do I kasha my oven? Right. Bang.
back to the movie. The next commercial, phone rings. Rabbi, when can I sell my chometz? You know? And there was one scene, that for a few seconds, it upset me. And then I decided there's goyness in that scene. I don't think they had it in mind. But this is what occurred to me. Germans are beginning to march into the Warsaw ghetto in order to liquidate it, destroy it. The few Jews that remain have already prepared themselves to resist, and the scene shifts to one apartment. There are a few fellows with guns by the windows, and you can see the Germans are moving in, and in the next room there's a family sitting down to the Seder. It started on the night of Pesach, the liquidation of the Warsaw ghetto. And boy, these Germans are marching in. The guys at the window start shooting down and pushing. Germans are falling like flies. And for a moment I had that feeling, what are you doing sitting by the Seder? Grab a gun and go shoot. And I got over it. I once called this, there are two kinds of strength. There's the spirit of strength, and there's strength of the spirit. In that scene, the ones by the window are the spirit of strength. The ones by the Seder are the strength of Jewish spirit. We're going to win because of the Seder. Because of Sipu Yetzias Mitzchayim, we're going to win. We're going to win through the strength of Jewish spirit. Because the ones who don't have Jewish spirit are going to disappear anyway. And they're disappearing all over the world. And they're disappearing right here in Eretz Yisrael. People, children born here that have no shaychus to Yiddishkeit. Don't learn a thing about Yiddishkeit. So that I've been doing tshuva for many years, for those few seconds at which I thought to myself, why don't you all get to the window and shoot? No. Getting to the window to shoot is important, but victory ultimately will be because of the strength of the spirit of sitting down to the Seder. That was Rabbi Akiva's Koach. Rabbi Akiva's Koach was, he was able to infuse not merely Klal Yisrael, Gedolei Yisrael. Bikesh Homeless, Nanlein, Rabbi Akiva is the one who gives them encouragement. It all comes from Rachel. They owe him a debt of gratitude. They all come to the Seder Rabbi Akiva. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I'm not going to be a poet, but I'm going to tell you. Epstein. By the way, there are Haggadahs available here. 35 shekel Haggadah. You don't have to buy. I'm only suggesting.